As a reminder, this podcast is listener supported. That means you people are the listeners supporting this podcast, which means a lot to me. And you can do that by going to the show notes or beforethelightspod.com/support. You can buy me a glass of vino, just like another former guest, Gabriel Key, has bought me 3 glasses of vino. So Gabriel, thank you so much. Salute Chin Chin. Salute Chin Chin. Salute Chin Chin to you. You can also make just a simple donation, or you can join the exclusive Before the Lights members group. Every little bit helps, and I appreciate your support. Hey, everybody, it's Tommy Canale, and welcome back to Before the Lights podcast, the show that tells you how they made their mark. He's a professional golfer who has competed on the PGA, European Senior, and the PGA Champions Tour. Born in Mexicali, Mexico, he's the best male Mexican professional of all time. He represented his home country 6 times in the World Cup and was the first Mexican to win on the Champions Tour. He has played in over 700 PGA tournaments in an almost 40-year career. Let's welcome in Esteban Toledo. Esteban, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you for hosting me. I appreciate it. It's a pleasure to be in your show. And I'm going to tell you a little bit of my life story through the world to play golf and just be to all the fans around the world.
And before I get into asking you some questions, I want to give some credit out to a mutual friend of ours in Eric Dutt, who's the general manager at Reflection Bay. Just a wonderful guy that connected us. So, Eric, if you're listening out there, thanks for the connection to Esteban. Overcoming the depths of poverty, where your home had dirt floors, no plumbing, cockroaches, and your father would pick rotten fruit from the trash to feed you and your 11 brothers and sisters. Is this a one-room home or two? Tell me about this house.
Well, it wasn't fun, wasn't it? When you don't have any food and no plumbing. I don't know if Eric knew all that, but it's amazing, Tommy, that anything is possible to have goals and dreams in your life. I had 2 bedroom. Actually, my father built a 2 bedroom adobe house, beat up house, and I can see some scorpions and on the floor. And wasn't fun, but that's what we have to do at the time. My father raised me the way he could, and my mother was the same. 11 kids. Actually, I just found out last year we were 12. Wow! Not just 11. It's kind of a long story, and but we were 12. I guess one died when he was very, very, very little. It was a boy. So, but at the time, we didn't know anything about it. My father built a little shelter that adobe house. He just went down there, built a house, and we just grew there for I don't know how many years, but tough days, tough months, tough years. But at the end, look at me now. I'm there in Reflection Bay enjoying golf with all my friends. That's kind of fun.
What kind of sleeping conditions? I mean, did you guys just pick places on the floor? I mean, how did everybody sleep in 2 rooms?
No, what happened is that we used to have 3 beds, and one guy sleep kind of north and the other one south, and then you just go back and forth. So that we're 4 in one bed. And then the other bed, the other brothers and sisters. So and then another one for my mom and dad. Most of the time I sleep with my mom and dad. So I was so little. And, but it was fun at the time because, I learned to deal with it. I didn't have a choice. And, it was one of those days we struggle in the winter when it was cold and we didn't have any food much and clothing or anything like that. So, tough going at the time. I still don't know how we survived, from that little adobe shelter. That's what it was to now the PGA Tour. So it's kind of amazing story. And, my mother tried to raise us the best she could at the time. And my father was growing vegetables and fruit up on the farm that we used to have, which is about 5 miles from my house. We have to walk all the way down there sat with my dad and my mom every single morning and tried to deal with the best we could at the time. We picked cotton, tomatoes, 7 a.m, go down there, come back at night. I mean, it wasn't fun, let me tell you.
No. But,
you know, that's life. This is the way, that's the way it was at the time. And I give my parents a lot of credit. And trust me, those beds that I was asleep in, it wasn't fun. Sometimes they didn't have any cushion because the spring, you know, it gets back on my back. And we put cardboard on it and everything we could to put a little cushion in my, in our bed. So, but, you know, tell me, this is the way you go. This is life. I learn and I deal with it. And now I don't have to do that. I have a nice bed.
Well, before we get into your golf career, was there ever a time as a child, Esteban, did you run with the wrong crowd at all? Or did you pretty much stay the straight and narrow?
You know, I had some difficulties through the years, but I learned to be focused on what I want. I want to get to the PGA Tour. I want to play against the best players in the world. And on top of that, I want to have a lot of friends around the world. I think I developed all that through the years and I met a lot of good friends. Like I met those wonderful people out of Reflection Bay. What a great golf course. And I had to deal with a lot of stuff. Sometimes they didn't let me come into the clubhouse on the PGA Tour because I was either dark hair or whatever. But I have to go through all that. And people tell me that I couldn't make it and I couldn't make it. And the more they tell me that I couldn't make it, that's what I really wanted the most. I wanted badly to get up there and make money. Be honest with you. I went up there for the money because I didn't have a choice. I had to take care of my family and I want to make sure I earn my name on the PGA Tour so I can go outside the golf course and be myself. This is what I want to be myself, not because I'm a golfer or boxer or whatever. I always just want to be myself.
Mm-hmm. Before golf, you were a boxer and you were 16-1 before appendicitis ended your boxing career. But when I say the name Julio Cesar Chavez, what does that mean to you?
I think Julio Cesar Chavez is the best ever before Salvador Sanchez died in a car accident in Mexico City. But Julio is the best golfer that I ever lived in Mexico. I admire a lot of golfers and boxers, but I think Julio is the role model of boxing in Mexico. I do believe that. Yep.
At the beginning then, were you trying to emulate him and did you want to be the next Julio Cesar Chavez?
Sometimes at the time I was training with Jorge Maromero Paez. I don't know if you remember the guy with that skirt. It was kind of like a clown guy. I'm watching some of the videos lately that Maromero Paez was from Mexicali and a great boxer. But I really wanna get to win the title someday. But it didn't happen. I grew up in the little house that it wasn't very clean. So I got appendicitis operation. I went to the hospital, they opened it and I went home, everything was fine. They're infected and then I have to go back again and open it. And then by the time I came back to the house, the doctor said, I think you really don't have any chance to go on in life with that. So that's how it stopped me. But I really want to be one of the greatest fighters in the world, but it didn't happen, which is I'm happy it didn't happen because now I'm a golfer.
That's right.
I'm not a golfer. I'm a player.
Oh, there you go. You're a player, but you were introduced to golf as a child because you would fish out balls at the Mexicali Country Club and sell them. And listeners, this is what I find fascinating about. There's a lot of different things that's fascinating about his story, but especially this point, his first set of clubs was a single 7-iron. Tell me about how you taught yourself to play with one club.
Well, it's my house was across the river from the golf course. There's a golf course in the river and then my house. So I went down there on every afternoon and look at the players, all the players who walked right through. And one guy left a 7-iron. It was a Tony Lima. I don't know if you, Eric, remember that, but Tony Lima was the name of the golf club. And I found it. And then I went across the river, and then I asked my brothers, what should I do with this thing? Well, what is it? Well, so no, this is the way golf. I said, well, golf is what? It's kind of stupid. And he so went back again the next day, and I play three holes every afternoon after all the members live in that little corner, like a main corner, kind of like that, and they left. And then that's when I go up there and squeeze and then play three holes, which it was number 14, 5, and 4. And then I finish in the dark and I putt with it. I hit it out of the bunker with it and I tee off with it. And I have only one club, no putter, no anything. It's just how I learned how to play ball and golf. But to make money, I was fishing balls. And I wish I could show you how to get. You probably saw it on my video, I filmed the HBO special with Brian Gumbel.
Yeah.
As I have my foot like that, and I grab the ball with my toes and pulls him out. It's real kind of funny, to be honest with you, but a lot of ideas how to get the ball out without going down in the water. And it works every single time. I wish I could show you, but I can't do it right now because I'm here in the house. But this is how I used to make money. I used to sell all the balls to the members, three balls for $1. And that was it. And it's how I make my money.
I did some research. I did see that video on how you would take your foot and your toes and pull the ball out of the water. It did make me smile a little bit. And from doing some other research on your story, Esteban, when I say the name John Rita Menis, what does that mean to you?
It changed my life. Without the couple, I wouldn't be here sitting talking to you, or I don't think I would have done what I have done through in golf in my career, own a house and everything that this guy did for me. It was just incredible. To me, it was like a beautiful person. Even last night, we were talking about it, that John and Rita trust me. Because I don't comprehend how God sent this person and this couple to me, and now they make me who I am. I wouldn't be in Reflection Bay if I wouldn't be for John and Rita. I mean, John died already and Rita's still alive, but I wouldn't be in Reflection Bay hanging out with my friends, to be honest with you. It kind of sometimes it make me cry because them, it changed my entire life, my career, my I don't know. I don't know how to describe it. It's a special. They all will be a special. And when I die someday, I'm going to go to heaven. I'm going to play golf with them up there because that's what's going to happen. It changed my life. It really changed my life.
How did you meet? How did you guys meet?
I was in Mexicali. They knew that there was a kid once who played on the PGA Tour and that wasn't that great. So I met John there and Rita, and then I was just hitting balls on the driving range, no shoes. I had a 7-iron with a grip all beat up, beat up on the grip. It was cracked, and they had to put a tape on it. And then they saw me hitting balls, and they thought it was the greatest thing they ever saw there. And I think it was like a Saturday or Friday night. And then they gave me a business card, and I gave him a call, and they said they were going to help me to get on the PGA Tour. And I'm thinking, yeah, right. And it's been so long that I still remember how I got a call, and he wanted to give me a call at the time. And I did. And they took me and they said, well, you got to go to Tijuana, get your visa and blah, 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 blah. And then about a month later, I was in San Jose, California, and their home. It was I couldn't comprehend it because we're going up on the hill and they have a beautiful home. You probably saw that on HBO. And I just couldn't believe what really happened at the time. I guess it was my destiny already to that person help me and get on the PGA Tour, because that was my dream. That was my goal. And I got there, and it took me, 12 years, 10 years, I think, to go to tour school, tough going, Tommy. Yeah. It was tough, that tour school. And they trust me. Basically, they trust me, just like Reflection Bay trusted me to hang out with all the members. This is like a dream come true for me. I wasn't expecting all this. I was expecting to have a car. I wasn't expecting to get on the PGA Tour. You know how difficult it is to get to the PGA Tour? I mean, it's amazing. It's hard.
Yes.
Especially young guys. But without John, that rest in peace in heaven, that he died of cancer, it really hurt me at the time, 2003. And I don't know, Tommy. God has blessed me with so many things. And at the end of the day, I'm just myself. I cannot be someone that I'm not. And that's what people respect me and love me, because my belief, I guess, and honesty and fun. So I make it fun. I'm a joker. I like to joke around, and that's my attitude. That's my image. And it is just awesome. Awesome to live that kind of life. But I earn it. I mean, I work hard. They call me workaholic on the PGA Tour. I thought it would be Tom Kite practicing, but I realized after a couple of years, there's no way I can beat the guy practicing. No way. That's the only one he beat me practicing. VJC was great, but I think I was a little bit above him practicing.
You turned pro in 1986. You hit the PGA in 1994. And then in 1998 through 2004, you had Q School 12 times. Esteban, I'm sure, as I've talked to many professional golfers, how many times did you think about quitting?
I almost quit in 1993. I talked to John that afternoon. I sat down with him, and he told me, he said, you should try a couple of more years. I said, no, I want to try one more year. 1993. I said, if I don't make that 1993 to play 1994, I will quit. What you going to do? I don't know. I do something. I go back to Mexicali or do something. But I was committed to that year. I went to the tour school so many times, and then I went to the finals pretty much everyone, and I didn't make it. But somehow that year, I had a walking pneumonia like 3 weeks before, and I went to the tour school in Haines City, Florida, and John was caddying for me. And then that shot that I hit on 18 to make it, I don't know if you saw it, that's the greatest shot I ever made in my life. I hit the shot. I was nervous. I didn't know what to do. I was just, my legs were shaking. My hands were shaking. And the ball, that stupid ball, went right into the hole. I could not believe it. I was crying because I was at the bubble. I was right on the top 50. And I went into the car, and I stayed there for 2 hours until John was back and forth going to the clubhouse and check the numbers. I was in my car praying and crying for 2 hours until he came over and he said, I think we got it. Special moment. I don't forget. We'll never forget. And because I shot, also on top of that, it changed what I am now. Amazing. Just amazing.
And all this hard work and perseverance and overcoming adversity really culminates in May of 2013, the first Mexican to win on the PGA Champions Tour at the Insperity Championship, where you won on a third playoff hole, winning on May 5th. Esteban, I'm going to ask you a question here, because when I was looking at this and all this stuff that culminated on one day, was the win more for you, your country, because you're winning on May 5th, or both? Because you had also promised your brother who was dying that you would win that year before December. So you win on the Mexican national holiday. You're the first Mexican to win a third playoff hole. I mean, what were the feelings? Was it everything?
Yes, my wife was there. My daughter was there. They flew in. I was in Jonathan Vega's house, and he hosts me there. We're good friends, and I stay there. And they flew in to see me win. But let me tell you something. My brother died in March the 8th, I believe. And I didn't have any status, basically. And it was really windy and hard golf course at the time. And I shot 67 to be in a playoff. and winning. And Cinco de Mayo wasn't not even in my mind. I wasn't not even thinking that I won in Cinco de Mayo. Later on, they told me, "So how do you feel winning on Cinco de Mayo?" I said, "Oh, it is Cinco de Mayo. I don't know." So I forgot all about it. But I really believe that when my brother died in March 8, and we went to the funeral in Mexicali to go see him, and I talked to him, and I say, "Hey, carnal, why don't you help me, cabrón? Andale, come on, help me to win. If I win, if I ever win, because I know you can help me, I will go on my knees and pray that you were there with me. And I promise him that if he helped me, I was going to win that year." And it happened, and unfortunately it happened in Cinco de Mayo. Well, it's Cinco de Mayo, but because I think the communication that we have and we had at the time with my brother Mario that he died, it really got me moving. I never won anything on big time on the PGA Tour, but when I won that 2013, I just couldn't comprehend how a little kid with no shoes, fishing balls in the pond, found a 7-iron, and there in the national TV and winning for my first time. It was amazing. I went home. I got really drunk that night, to be honest with you. I got drunk, and it was amazing because all my hard work through the years and people who believe in me, you know, obviously John was there with me too when I won also, you know, in my mind. But I'll tell you what, it's all the hours and months and years that I practiced, and my wife telling me that I was capable to win anytime. Rita calling me, say, "You're going to win. You're going to win." Brian Gumbel always telling me, "You can win. You can win." And then boom, it happening. It just happening. But it doesn't, I change anything. I didn't change anything. The only thing it can change is my and money in my pocket. That's the only thing I changed. But it was amazing winning that time because the whole country was watching me winning for the first time. I know I lost to Tiger in, I think it was 2000, but the whole country was looking at for me to win, to be Tiger. But when I won finally that trophy in Cinco de Mayo in Sperry in Houston, it was unbelievable feeling that I never had that before. I know I had it, but I didn't realize it was going to be that difficult to get my first one. And I tell you what, I still hold my trophy in my next door, right in my room. It's holding the trophy right there. It's not going anywhere, amigo. No, right there.
You celebrate with victories with the left hook. Is that to symbolize anything?
Boxing.
Okay.
It's when I threw the left hook, it's boxing. It's my determination and my discipline that I have for to do something that I wanted to do, because John Minnis, when he was alive, that guy who helped me, he said, "You need to have something, emissary or something that Chi-Chi goes with a sword and Tiger goes with a little, you know, uppercut, and I want to do something about it." And we were looking for something special. And when I played the U.S. Open in Pinehurst when Payne Stewart won, and I hold it out from the bunker on 17, and I threw the left hook, and that was it. That was it. That was my image right there. And I'll tell you what, I'm still doing it. I love it. But I'll tell you what, it's there's nothing better than being myself in life. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I've been in clubhouses where they treat me great, especially Reflection Bay. Eric treat me great. Everybody treat me great there in Henderson, Nevada. I mean, I don't know. I'm just being myself. I mean, I'm not trying to be anybody else. And I don't have a car. I don't own a car. I'm so simple. I think every man should be like that. I don't have a car. I don't need a car. I have my golf cart in my Reflection Bay. I can drive all the way to my driving range. I don't. And Eric probably doesn't like me. "Oh, you got to make a tea time." Oh, come on, Eric. I got to go there with amigos over there. And that's me. Yes. That is me. I have not changed anything, Tommy. Nothing.
Tell me, what is the state of golf like in Mexico these days?
It's growing.
It's growing.
It's growing big time because either I put the seed into the golf world 20 years ago. Now there's so many young guys who once either passed me or play like me, now like playing like Loren Ochoa or guys like Carlos Ortiz or Anser or all these guys that playing the tour and the Lip Tour and all these tours around the world. Now there's so much money, you know, and people say, well, I want to play for the trophy. That's a bunch of baloney. I think they play for the money. And if they play good, they make money. And if they play good, they can win. But I tell you what, it's about money right now. It's just incredible. And I think it's good because there's so much competition out there that the golfers want to make money. Honestly, I want to still make money. Why not? Mm-hmm. I want to give money to my charities. I want to give money to people who really needs it. Not it's always about me. It's not about me, Tommy. It's not. It's about somebody else. God sent me here for a reason, to enjoy my life, take care of my family first, and be happy. There's nothing better than be happy. You don't have to have a lot of money, but if you do, why not? And you've got to be happy. You can't forget where you come from. Some people change. I have not changed one thing. The only thing I changed is money in my bank so I can give it away to people. And that's the way I am. That's why John and Rita are like that. It's amazing. It's really amazing.
I'll tell you what else you've changed. You've changed lives with the Esteban Toledo Family Foundation. The mission and purpose, listeners, is to maintain the home of love for orphaned and foster care children, providing them a safe, loving, and caring environment, and encourage each child to discover and achieve their dream. You can go to the links in the show notes to EstebanToledoFamilyFoundation.org. I'll put a link there. It opened in 2017 with a 3,600 square foot home of love. Esteban, tell me about the amenity of this home and what these children get.
You know what? It's a great question, Tommy. It's the reason my wife and I built that is because when John died in 2003, he asked me to help someone in my hometown. So we decided to open our orphanage we have 15 children right now. And this is eight years. And Eric Don is really helping me. Dot is really helping me to raise money in Reflection Bay, April the 22nd and 23rd. We're going to have a second event there. But just like I say to you, to all the viewers out there, it's not always about me. It's not always about you. It's all about what I make. I give it back to the people and children, because we're changing this children's mind. We're changing their ability to believe. And I want to give them hope, because without hope, you lose. You're way up there. So I want them to have hope, and I want them to know that I love them. Because this kid being abused by the parents, but a lot of people. And for me to teach him and love him and care and give him hope and believe, I don't give him anything. I don't give him what they want. I give him what they need to be successful. We have one kid now, Tejas, is going to graduate from mechanical engineer in June. You know how happy we are, the board members and donors up there who are listening to donate a buck or two. It's just amazing. It's really amazing. And we're doing great. I think we're going to do better. We're going to get those kids out of the street. We're going to get those kids to have their dreams like I have. And it's going to happen. I do believe that is going to happen. This is 8 years already. 8 years with this. And these kids, let me tell you, when they got to the first time to the building, they were scared because they didn't know what was going on. They've been abused. And I told them, from that gate right there, that gate that you guys going in, no one is going to hurt you. No one. I'll put my life for them because those are my kids. Mm-hmm. I take care of them, and I'm going to take care of them. Because that's what God wanted me to do. It's not always about me. Those children need love and hope and good education so they can go out there in this world and survive and be successful someday, like this kid Tejas is going to be. Mechanical engineer? Are you kidding me? I didn't ever finish college. Kidding me? Not because I wanted to, it's because I didn't have any money. My parents were broke. Mm-hmm. I mean, poor. We're talking poor. It's like sometimes my wife tells me that we were homeless. And actually, we were. And not afraid to say it, because I was, basically.
Right.
We begged for food and we begged for clothes. And they given it to us. Now it's my time to give them back to them.
It's fantastic. Are some of these children that you're turning their lives around, do they come from cartel families?
No. There's a lot of stuff that I can't talk about it, but we get them from the government. The government gave it to us. We raised them. Do I agree with the government how they cooperate, all the stuff? No, I don't agree with the government, but my job is to raise money here in the U.S. Like I'm going to have my second tournament in Reflection Bay, April the 22nd and 23rd. We're going to raise money for those kids because I teach them. And they're not, I have nothing to do with anything. I know a lot of people there, but I don't ask them for money. My main thing is here in the U.S. because U.S. is the most charitable country in the whole world. This is what it's all about in this country. I came here in 1985 for the vision to make money and take care of my family. And that's what I am. That's what I have done. And that's what I'm going to do with those kids. But it's God has given me the ability. God has given me the talent. And all I'm using all my friends and a couple of the members. They've been in Mexicali. They can't believe how happy those kids are. And that's what it's all about to me. It's just amazing how people help and send money to our bank to take care of those kids. I'm very cheap, be honest with you. I don't give my money that easy because it's not my money. It's your money. So I had to take care of it.
Do you have any other future plans to do anything else in Mexicali?
No, I have not. I want to enjoy my life. I talked to Eric and too many people. I want to enjoy my life. I want to go hike. I want to travel. I don't want to play golf a lot. I'll be honest with you. I'm going to have maybe a couple of years. And if I don't make it on the PGA Champions and win for my fifth time, I know I can do it. I'm going to enjoy my life because it's not always about playing golf and traveling all over the world. I was in Morocco last week with the Prince of Morocco. And it's hard to travel 8 hours an hour, go out there on the golf course, get up at 6 o'clock in the morning, go come back at my hotel at 5:30, 6 o'clock at night, get up the next day. And then after the tournament, fly back to Miami, stay overnight and fly home to Reflection Bay. It's hard, but I don't like it, be honest with you. I'm 61 years old. I can't do things like I wanted to do when I was 24, 25 years old. Life is not always about golf. It's about my family, my wife, my children, and the orphanage and friends around. That's why I like Reflection Bay. I like to go out there and play and hang out with my friends. If I see somebody on the tee box by himself, I go ask him, "Who are you?" "I'm Esteban." "Who?" I like to do that. I mean, I this is me. Right. I just go play wherever I can walk.
There's a word that I think you are going to have a different relationship and a different definition of than I think most people in America are. But when I say the word nothing, what does that mean to Esteban Toledo?
It means nothing is that anybody can make it if they work hard. This is all what it is. You have a discipline. You wanted to make it. You have your goals and your dreams. You can prevail all that with the hard work in timing that you put into whatever you do. And if you can do that, come over and play with me on Reflection Bay next week. I'll be there.
And your life and career is the subject of the book 10 Cup Dreams by Michael D'Antonio. If you want to read up on his story as well outside of this podcast, you said, you know, you want to go hiking, you enjoy taking walks and fishing. But my question is, do you still hit the heavy bag or the speed bag these days?
No, I don't. I do not. I'll be honest with you. I do not. I wanted to go one of these days after I finished golf. I want to go and train like a month or two and go back to my roots, 1, 2, and 3, and move around, you know, and kind of go back to my same roots because I haven't forget. I still can do it, but I think it will be fun. I think it will be fun to go back and box it and try one more time. Now, the reason I wrote the book, The 10 Cup Dreams, is because John died. I want him to be recognized and being in the book, because one time I asked him, how much I owe you? I want to pay you back what you spent. And he said, you already pay me back. I couldn't understand it at the time. Mm-hmm. And he said, well, what do you mean by that? He said, my dream was for you to make it on the PGA Tour. Now you accomplished that. This is my goal. It was my dream for you to make it on the PGA Tour. You got me that one. And I wrote the book because I want him to be his name on the books forever. And that's exactly why I wrote the book. Because I want people to know that because him, it helped me. Because her, it helped me. And this is how I did it. So I'm not very smart in things, but let me tell you, common sense, I can challenge anybody. This is what I tried to do. That's the reason I wrote the book. Now, the movie, we're making the movie now.
Okay.
Because the book is in process right now. One of the producers, Jaime Hernandez, the one, they just filmed the movie Sound of Freedom. And those are the ones they're going to have my movie.
That's pretty cool. That's really cool. Let's end on this, because as I was reading on your page and on your foundation, you're a big fan and supporter of the Mexico's national soccer team. How involved are you with this soccer organization?
I'm not really that big deal. I think what happened a couple of days ago with the females beat the U.S. Yes. it was amazing. I like to see Mexico winning or making it to the quarterfinals someday. Someday. They haven't done it, but I like to see them succeed and feel like they want a World Cup. I was there when they play against South Africa, and I don't know what year it was. I flew all the way down there to see them play. That was pretty amazing. But I hope they win someday. But now the females, they won. What is it, last week?
Yeah, last week.
Yeah. So it's for them to win the and I guess it was in California, but basically they're all Latinos anyway, or Mexicans. It was good for soccer. It was really, really good. Every boxer, every football, everything that they do in Mexico, when they do it in Mexico or some Mexican come up with something good, I always pull in for them because it is my image also, you know, because what I have done for my family in golf in Mexico, that's pretty good. I try my best. I'm still at the age of 61. Not too bad, but it's always so, you know, these athletes make in the world, you know, and have a good image for themselves and like I had and or have. And it's pretty amazing what I have done for my family, myself, mostly myself. And I backed it up with John and Rita, who really helped me and gave me the chance to come to this, the most beautiful country in the whole world and the most charitable country in the whole world and the most friendliest people in this world. And my best place to go visit is the U.S. There's nowhere else besides my country.
I'm going to put a bunch of links in the show notes. One is to EstebanToledo.com. The other one is going to be to his foundation. I'm going to put a link to Reflection Bay, and I'll put a link to the HBO special that Esteban did as well. I want to thank you for your time. I live here in Vegas. One of these days, I'll get out to Reflection Bay. We'll have lunch. I haven't played golf in a couple of years, but I got to get out and knock off some rust. So once I get back on the course, we'll get out in the links with Eric, and we'll play a round of golf.
I'll tell you what, so you're welcome to come. I have my own golf cart, which is kind of nice, you know. You can come with me, and I can show you how to fish balls with my ball retriever. I have it. I have not changed like Lee Trevino changed. Trust me. You're welcome anytime to Reflection Bay. I'll be glad to host you, or Eric will do it. But we'll make sure we have a good time. And come up to April 22nd and 23rd. We have the second tournament. It's going to be so much fun, I'm telling you. And I hope you come over so I can give you a couple of strokes aside. No problem.
I love that. Esteban, thank you so much for coming on the show, telling me and my listeners about your story and about your foundation.
Well, thank you. It's always a pleasure. And my foundation is doing great. And I hope I see you there. And God bless the whole country, the whole world.
Listeners, before we go, as an inspirational speaker that will inspire you to inspire others, my story of beating cancer against the odds will get you on the path to absolutely change your life. Click the link in the show notes or go to TommyCanale.com. That's TommyCanale.com. And that's going to do it for this episode of Before the Lights. Until next time, everybody, I salute a chin chin.